All right, we got a great episode coming up for you today. Of course, as the world turns, so does the Kyrie Irving story, this time with a very credible and well-sourced writer in Scoop B. Robinson for Bally Sports. Comes out with an article detailing not just the current maybe thinking of Kyrie around vaccinations and the hopes of Brooklyn Nets fans for his return, but also what he's been doing away from the court, how he's been feeling away from the court. And Doug, what we can gauge that to mean in terms of any opportunity for the Brooklyn Nets to see Kyrie back on the court this season?
Yeah, it's a non-basketball story that's very much a basketball story. Like, I don't know another way to put it here. It's gonna loom over the Nets season, and for fans, for the team, for everybody, it's just gonna be something that we're gonna have to talk about. Like, every once in a while, this story makes it worth it to talk about because there's a couple new things that come along here that I think shed some light on Kyrie returning or not to the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to get into it all, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Adam Marmbrecht, that's Doug Norrie, and today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those that you want to keep. Along with that, we thank you for making us your first listen of the day. We're free on all those great platforms, Doug, and we come in today talking about Kyrie Irving in the latest, layer to the story of him away from the court. Scoop B. Robinson, who writes for Bally Sports, came out with an article today detailing Kyrie away from the court, where Kyrie maybe stands mentally and being away from basketball right now. And then, of course, the biggest topic involved in his current status, vaccine, where he stands on that, and maybe where some of his thinking has been. Is this exciting for you, sir, as we dive into a fun-filled conversation?
I mean, it's not exciting to talk about, like, you know, vaccine debates and you know, whether or not Kyrie, just whether or not Kyrie is going to play. It's not necessarily fun to talk about, but it'd be, like it says in the title here, it's the biggest non-basketball story of, in really a long time. And it's affecting the Nets, and every day that it goes on, it affects the Nets more and more. And every day, really, it's like the thing that's in the back of every time we come up with something about the team that we're having a problem with, or, you know, like, or the roster, or how things are constructed and what they need. It's like even when we don't say it, it ends up being the thing that we don't say every time, because we could just mention it every time that, hey, this would look different if Kyrie was here. Right. That's just the simple thing we would say it every episode. So it's not fun to continue to talk about why this is happening. That's like about the least fun thing in the world, but, it's relevant because every day that it goes on, and Scoop's article, he's a really dialed in guy. He has been for a long time with Kyrie. Like, I think this is probably sourced a little bit better than some other things we've read in the past around the situation. That's a lot of conjecture. So I mean, we'll talk about a few of the details from this article. My takeaway was he's not coming back anytime soon. from the high level down, like, and we can get into some of the whys here, but any Nets fan that's holding out hope that, like, this is going to just resolve itself and he's just going to have a change of heart, this article, if it's even moderately accurate, would send the signal that this could be it. We might never see him again in a Nets uniform, because short of all these things changing, this article doesn't make you feel that's happening anytime soon.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time, and you had mentioned it on one of the solo episodes last week that you did, just around the state of things. We thought, you know, where things stand with the mandate. We know there's different things going on in New York City, and there's different COVID-related things that keep coming up, so we know that there's that layer to it. But I think when we started the journey of the season without Kyrie being there, the sense was that, like, both sides were going to be cool to be back together and to want to go play for a championship, right? Kevin Durant, James Harden, the Brooklyn Nets organization, for everything that they said as far as making a clear outline about what they were willing and not willing to do in regards to Kyrie. Sean Marks said it. Steve Nash said it. if and when he can come back or chooses to come back or the situation changes, we'll welcome him back with open arms. I think probably now, and not even maybe not contentious, maybe it is, now it seems like it is further away from that place than ever before, and not solely around the mandates in the city. Like, I think that perspectives on both sides are getting further apart, especially with the way Scoopy outlines it in this article.
Well, I think the mandates would drive it because that's just the rule,
yes.
Right? There's nothing around, like the rule is the rule. I'm not going to debate the rule. Like, we've been around this rule 50 times. So like I'm not going to do another round of the rule, but just the rule is the rule at this point. And once you clear that away, then you like everyone's just kind of just going to dig. I guess what you're saying, and I think I agree, is like everyone's just kind of dug their heels in further. Like any movement around either A, Kyrie deciding, oh, okay, I will follow the rule and get vaccinated so I can, therefore I can play in New York City. Like, right. That's not happening. And then the team, because the team is like, okay, well, if he could still play in home game, he could still be practicing with the team. Like, mm-hmm. That's been established. Like, the vaccine, he does not need the vaccine to practice. And so he could be practicing with the team if they wanted it to be the case. And he could be playing away games if they wanted that to be the case too. They are not interested in that at all. You know, for reasons that Mark's outlined in the past. And so therefore you just get these two sides that I don't think either one is right or wrong here. Like, I don't think anyone's wrong here, but it just leads to this total complete stalemate of a situation that has no resolution. And it is all about this mandate. If like New York City lifted the mandate tomorrow, it'd all be over. Like that, like, so, yeah. You know what I mean?
Here's the other interesting thing is because we start to get into this article a little bit. A lot of it talks about what Kyrie's been up to of late, right? You mentioned it in the last episode. He was seen at a Seton Hall game on the sidelines. There's some takeaways, some quotes there as far as what he may be getting involved in and what he's trying to do. And it all lends in the direction of who we've come to know Kyrie to be away from basketball. The one thing that I think could have happened here is that Kyrie's time away from basketball has strengthened his desire and enjoyment of some other areas of his life. And that, I think, could be a difference as far as... Now, you're right. Do I if the mandate was lifted tomorrow, would Kyrie be back playing? I almost 99.99% think that he would be. And also, it's not like this season and this circumstance was the first time that Kyrie has ever had issues or Kyrie's ever had things beyond basketball that has taken him away from the game, right? So I do wonder. He's 29 years old, 30 years old. He's expansive. He's made a lot of money. He's had time to get away and do other things in the offseason or otherwise. And maybe this time away is even further pushing him in the direction of saying, like, maybe basketball is falling somewhat down the hierarchy of my priorities in my life.
Yeah, like he mentions in the article about, you know, spending time with his family, getting into some other ventures outside of the NBA, obviously, like helping youth basketball. These are all sourced. By the way, if they haven't read the article, none of this is Kyrie's quotes, right? These are all people close to the situation, basically.
Yeah.
I do tend to take this. I do tend to take Scoop's like stuff a little bit closer than maybe some other things we read in the past. That being said, anything that's just not a quote, it is always open for interpretation, and it always is subject to change. And we've seen this happen a million times. And sometimes, Kyrie, sometimes I think about this stuff, and I'm only saying this from like a high level observation standpoint. It's sort of flighty around this stuff. It's hard to get a handle exactly on what it is that are his core talking points, you know, like, or his core like belief systems around this stuff. I'm sure he has them. It's never been made totally clear through things he's said or done up until this point. And so, I think that like when you look at the situation, if you're a Nets fan, and rounding it back to basketball a little bit, like I just don't think this article in some ways didn't tell you much, because except for like he's not coming back, except that it probably what it did tell you, like you mentioned this a second ago, is that it did tell you is that there's some chance that like it just doesn't happen again because like he just found other things, like he just didn't need it maybe as much as he thought he did. You know, like, and there's no financial he is not being financially disincentivized to come back or incentivized to come back because he's getting paid for half the games too. Like whether that's an organizational choice, the Nets are the ones that chose it. You can't begrudge Kyrie for taking any money there. So I don't really want to hear that piece of it. Like the Nets made that choice to do it. You'd be absolutely, utterly insane not to take it. So, like, you can't bag on him for not doing that, but he's getting paid for half the season here. And that is there's no financial like grip here, because like a la Ben Simmons, they were like, hey, if you don't come back, we're not going to pay you. He's like, oh, okay, right. Turns out I'm back. You know, like this is not that situation is not happening. Hey guys, I'm back.
Indeed, well,
he's not really back, and he had other stuff come up. But like there was some more like sort of wrangling that needed to happen around that situation. So in all, I mean, maybe we have a few more things on this, but like in all, it's not a situation I think that if you're a Nets fan and strictly from a basketball standpoint here, you cannot feel good right now about Kyrie Irving returning at all this season. Short of the mandate lifting. Like that is the only thing you're actually again, from a basketball standpoint, that is the only thing you are rooting for right now is the mandate get lifted. Because I don't think you can root for anything else. Because I don't think from a organizational or player choice standpoint, like neither of these sides are changing at all. So now all you're thinking, if you want him to come back, you just need the mandate to change.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There's a couple of sentiments out of this article that also, to your point about if Scoopy is a little bit more dialed in around the Kyrie circumstance, and he's been known to be more accurate and on point around some of this stuff in the past, that maybe we can also take away over the general timeline of what's come out from Kyrie or from sources in and around Kyrie. Before we do, though, Doug, let the people know about what they can do with Truebill.
Oh, you've been down this road before with the free trials. Like, free trial sounds great until the bill comes a few days later, or a month later, and it's something you've already forgotten about or you moved on, and then all of a sudden you're 3 months in and you've seen three recurring charges on your credit card. Get rid of this. Get this out of your life. Get Truebill right now. Those free trials are sometimes scams that are just out to get you. Don't let those companies pocket your money. Download Truebill right now. Take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is an app, helps you identify, stop paying for subscriptions you don't want, need, or just simply, like I said, forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. This could be you, folks. This could be the money that you're saving just by taking control of those subscriptions. Companies can make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts. Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Just one tap. They're your concierge for what you need to get canceled, to get those unwanted subscriptions canceled so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users, helped them save over, wait for it, $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
And then, of course, got to tell you about our friends over at Theragun. Doug, are you sore?
Always.
Yeah. No, that's what I assumed. Listen, Doug has two kids. He's got a busy lifestyle. He loves to be athletic, get out there in the streets. I myself was chopping wood over a little mini vacation where you may have noticed I was not a part of the podcast, and I came back sore. And that's where Theragun comes in, because you can go ahead and not allow the stress of daily life to weigh down your body. Whether you're an elite athlete like Doug Norrie, like Adam Armbrecht, or just a Joe Schmo on the street like Kevin Durant, you got to go ahead and help yourself through that tension with the Theragun. It's a Gen 4 Theragun. Doesn't just help you feel good. It gets down to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, after an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitution for the Theragun Gen 4. You can go over and try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Therabody.com/LockedOn right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Therabody.com/LockedOn. Therabody.com/LockedOn. So the one thing, and we've always said this, I think we do a good job of it, not to pat ourselves on the back, but when it comes to the Kyrie conversation, I think that you and I have always made sure to highlight the good things that he's doing. And inside of the Scoopy article, it does seem like, while we may not be hearing from him in the NBA arena, locally in New Jersey, the Seton Hall game, giving young players advice, connecting with other people, planning to do other community things to help build up youth basketball, etc., like, he's still being active in those other areas of his life that he has seemed to more and more grown to enjoy and want to extend. That's the piece where I again think, like you said, short of the mandate changing, I almost, in a world where I would like it to be that there was no restrictions for either side to have Kyrie come back and really see what would Kyrie's response or reaction to that be. If Kyrie had entered into this season and none of this existed that has caused the current circumstance, how many games, how many days, how many weeks would Kyrie have been away from the team? There's the one element of you know, having a child, and that obviously would be nothing to scoff at if he wanted to take time to be with his family. But we saw this last season. I'm not going to say this is like kind of that weird cloud that everything now gets tucked underneath is vaccines and mandates and if or he could or could not play. But I do wonder that piece of it, because it seems like every year, even before the Nets, that Kyrie has gotten a little bit more distant from his desire to be fully invested for 82 full games, et cetera, when it comes to the NBA.
Yeah, like you're saying, like, okay, so I think what you're saying is if it wasn't this, would it be something else? I think that's a totally fair question to ask with him, because it has been a lot of something else's. So he does not have the most, spotless career when it comes to questionable decisions around, situations and playing and what he was doing and attitudes. It's never come at the cost of how other team people in the league think of him. Like, other players love him. So yep. That's never been the issue for him. Other players, almost to a person, love the guy. All you have to do is watch every time he returned to Boston and just the amount, like, the guys literally lined up to hug him, like, yep. when he came back for the first time. So, like, it's never a player thing. Like, other players absolutely love him, but at every stop there's been an issue. Like, every single stop there's been an issue. And so, yes, this thing is about the vaccine and whether or not he's going to get it. And I think what you're saying is, if it wasn't this, would it be something else? Maybe. It's hard to say that. His track record around it would, if you're looking at a Bayesian, like, you're examining your priors would say, yes, yeah, something actually probably would come up. It's happened every single year. Like, Boston, he had issues with, like, how they were playing. He wanted out of Cleveland when it came to playing with LeBron. His first year, there was a shoulder thing that just never, no one could figure out what was going on. And then he ended up, no one could figure out if he was going to come back. Then he ended up sitting. Last year, it was the issue before the James Harden trade, where he just mysteriously sat out, for a week or two. And then now it's this. So, like, the list is long enough to keep going back and say there's some chance that something else would happen. But you have to say, but maybe not. I don't know. Maybe this is the year it doesn't. I don't know. Like, it's impossible. So I always tend to want to give people the benefit of the doubt and stuff like that, because I always try to return everything back to even once it's been sorted out. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a failing of mine on a personal level. I do think that, like, in this situation, I would like to think that would be the case. And again, this is a situation where, even if it was or wasn't, we're in a situation now where it's like, he doesn't seem upset about what's happening, at least if this article can be believed. Like, there doesn't right. seem to be any pining for it. It doesn't, at least outwardly, does not seem to be pining to get back on the court when there's a quote that says he's the happiest he's ever been, right? Like, that was a quote. There's a quote in there that says he's the happiest he's ever been. That does not seem like a guy who's dying to get back on a basketball court. Because it would hard to be the happiest you would ever been in your life if you were also wringing your hands every day about why you couldn't play basketball. So, like, this all just kind of looks not like it's going to ever happen again here.
The one thing is, too, like you mentioned, and first of all, if he was able to come back and all of a sudden, yes, you do reset that. We had talked this probably a few weeks ago now on the podcast where I'd said there's a threshold probably where, as a pure fan, I get to a place and you push back on it, probably rightfully so, of saying, like, there's this point where, regardless of what the reason why is, if you're away long enough, if you came back in at game number 72, I would be inclined to say, I don't know if I think I want you back. I think that, I want to see the team earn whatever they're going to earn, and I don't know if you get to hop on for the last ride, even though the postseason is long, and by the end of it, the game total would look pretty strong, and obviously, he makes you a better team. We said that with consistency. But the other thing you mentioned there about players in Boston lining up to, to say hey to him and to give him love, and everyone loves him. I do think, though, it's far easier to love Kyrie as a person and as a player, if you're in the NBA, when he's no longer on your team. Right? Like, because now you're not dealing with whatever the issues or concerns may be, because inside of his time in Boston, while they may all love and respect Kyrie on and off the court, whatever the case may be, there has to have been a threshold there, though, where Tatum or, Jaylen Brown, where these guys were saying, well, what's the deal here, though? Right? Like, we're all here trying to win basketball games together, and it seems like you have your own narrative that you want to tell. And I do like
I
you.
Think, but and you, yeah, you know, I would push yeah, back on that. I would push back on that by saying I think that, like, I think there's probably an understanding that Kyrie, like, if Kyrie Irving is on your basketball team, you're just better with him there than if he's not there. Like,
100%.
So I think that, and so I think, like, from that perspective, you can, I get what you're saying, and I don't know if that's like a switch you can turn on or off. Like, I don't think it's a switch where it's like, hey, this guy drove me absolutely nuts, and now that he's gone, I just absolutely love the guy. Like, I don't think that works like that. So I don't think like it's, I don't think the translated love coming from players works like where it's easier to like them from a distance. Like, I don't.
You have like a family member that maybe you love, right? But also, if you live next door to them, you would, you know. If I live right next door and they were always coming over, you know, 6 days a week, you'd say, man, you know what? I could use a little bit of space here. Like, I think that can be a part of it. And these aren't family members, but at the same, and again, to your point, the guy's so good that when he's on your team, you probably say, well, my next door neighbor's annoying, but he keeps baking me apple pies. So they're delicious and I don't care. I want the pie. I'll deal with the fact that he comes over and asks for a couple of favors here and there. Like, maybe there's truth to that, but I do think that there is that balance. This is with friendships, with personal, family, whatever. I think you do calibrate and say, this is the distance. This is the space that I feel comfortable being your friend, being your partner in whatever it may be. And it's a very curious thing, right? Like, I wonder, LeBron James, you know, you talk to LeBron James, talk to all the guys in Boston and try to figure out some sense of where did you stand at? Because at least organizationally, every stop has gotten to a place where Cleveland said, all right, you know, okay, you'll move on from here. In Boston, he wanted out. Everyone gave into that perspective. And I don't think if, say, LeBron James had the same characteristics that Kyrie does, that any of those teams would say, well, time to set sail on LeBron, right? Like, I think there is some type of difference there between the talent threshold. And we talk about this too in sports, right? If you're a back end of the roster guy, nobody cares. You're annoying. We're going to get rid of you or whatever it may be. Or we love you, by the way, and you're just not good enough, so we're going to get rid of you.
Yeah, no, I think there's all. I'm not putting him in that class of those other guys. Like, there's clearly a difference with him when it comes to just whatever like the focus is or whatever that piece of it is. I think he's not in that class, and I agree with you on all those points. There was one more thing too. There was one more path. Wait, I didn't mention this before. There was one more path to him returning that didn't have to do with the mandates. We'll get into that into 1 second here. First, Boost Mobile, folks. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. Switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. That's the real superpower, saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone, free. So you can listen to all the latest episodes, yours truly, Locked On Nets. You also get the power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line. So your family can harness all of that brain power too. For the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful you'll become. Think about it. Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Disclaimer. Free phone limited to new customers and 1 per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage is not available everywhere or for all phones and networks. See boostmobile.com for details.
So the other piece then inside of this article, as you said, as far as around the vaccine goes, there is a alternative to the current vaccines that are being offered, which is a plant-based vaccine that's currently in clinical trials and looks like at some point it's going to get to a place where it's going to be available. That was, again, through sources, suggested that could be what Kyrie Irving is waiting for because he is a vegetarian. So he does the current vaccines do include animal byproducts. That's a part of many vaccines or shots and doses of things you may get throughout your life. Did you find, or I'll make my statement on it. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with someone having that perspective. And I find it just incredibly convenient that this is now the time that we hear about this, as there has been some more news around a plant-based vaccine that, oh, maybe that's the reason that Kyrie has been waiting.
Yeah, I mean, he's never been mentioned up to this point. He did the IG Live. He didn't talk about that piece of it. So maybe it's a new thought that's come around. I have no idea. It was mentioned specifically in the article. I saw people calling it like a vegan vaccine. That's not really what it is. Like you said, almost all conventional vaccines are made through or with animal byproducts. So if you have a predisposition to not be able to like come in contact with certain mammal byproducts, which is like definitely a condition people have, it's not like so super common, but it's real, right? So that you actually vaccines wouldn't be available for you because it would cause you like you know, harm or allergic reactions or things like that. Like, it would be a medical problem for you to do. So
like
there
being allergic
is
to penicillin, right? Some people have that, and that's a far more widespread, but you have these things, you have to find an alternative version of something to be able
right
to get.
So like, so there is this version of the a vaccine that like that's in development that would not be run through different animal byproducts that almost, by the way, almost all of them are, like, there's right. like nearly all of them are. So anyway, that's the other path. If this other thing is approved, right? Like, if this other vaccine is approved and he was willing to take that, like, that would, that I'm just, I'm only throwing this in there to say there was one other path to non-mandate. Yeah. Like, there's this one other path that involved the possibility of it happening. I don't think it's like super likely in the short term. So, it's really, we could probably just move off of it. But I did see people kind of like, I saw a number of people kind of poo-pooing this idea that like there's like this crazy hokey, like you were, you know, like there was some vaccine that was made with like, you know, herbs and spice and all things nice. Like, that's not what it is.
Right,
like,
a Willy like Wonka's factory. It's the,
or just like,
or just, bar.
Or yeah, or just like you lit some incense and a vaccine came out of it. Like, it's right. not, it's not that. It's it, there is it, it's a real thing, and I don't think it's all that likely to happen in the short term anyway. So it's probably a moot point. I have actually have a question for you here.
Right.
So I talked about this the other day on the solo pod, and I did not see a clear path of, like, not only it was like this terrible Venn diagram where nothing was going to, like, all ended up with like Kyrie Irving just sitting out the whole season and nothing happening.
Yes.
Like, do you think there's a path here? I know you probably have some trades and stuff. Like, hold off on that for 1 second. Like, do you think there's like an actual path of him either playing or like even trading them? Like, is there anything to like look at here with any form of positivity? Because I personally do not see it. Like, but I'm hoping you sometimes are a little more positive when it comes to stuff like this. Or but like, do you think, is this just it? Like, are we just gonna go be a game 82 and go into the playoffs, and it's gonna, or the All-Star break, or the Nets just gonna choose some kind of drop dead date and say this is it? Because I just don't even think they can trade him either. Like, I just think this is this is the most impossible of situations, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I can frame the idea of the possibility of trading him. But to your point, maybe I'm the more positive guy on the podcast. Who knows for sure? Because this time I'm not going to be. No, I don't see a path to it, because you know, we highlighted that idea of both sides getting maybe a little bit more further entrenched on their perspectives on it. Now, we said this before, everything's going to run through the filter of Kevin Durant. So if Kyrie Irving, things change by whatever method that it happens, things change and it's game 81 and they say Kyrie can come back, if KD says, yep, let's go, I want to win a championship, then that's it. Then he's in and he goes. I think one of the things that does push back on that maybe a little bit more, we've been talking about the evolution of this team this season and what they're trying to build and things they're trying to figure out. They've become a far stronger defensive team in the absence of Kyrie, out of necessity. You got to get better in other areas, and you're playing more guys that happen to be better on the defensive end than the offensive end. Doesn't mean it doesn't create other problems. But if you forge a new identity for a team, I know that you could say if you drop Kyrie onto any team at any point, anywhere in the season, he's instantly going to make that team better. And that's true. But the further that this goes, I think is the harder for it just to come back around and say, yep, let's drop him right back in. Let's solve this problem. And not to go down the fun rookie road, but like Cam Thomas and what happens with him over the next 25 games, that impacts how the Brooklyn Nets look at this. If he can become a consistent scorer in whatever capacity that he has, it's never going to be Kyrie this season, but it's going to be better. It's going to be better than what they haven't had so far. So the longer that Kyrie is away, I think is the easier it is for the Nets to look at it and say, what are our other options? Where do we want to go from here? Because I don't think that Kyrie is coming back on another contract. I think this relationship will effectively come to its end. And then there is the trade piece. But I mean, do you think that is that fair, that part of the perspective of the longer it goes, the harder it is?
I think it'll go the other way. I think if anything, the longer it goes, the easier it'll be for them to make some kind of concession to bring him back. Because like, I think as we get into a longer season and they continue to deal with injuries, like the Nets have been remarkably like healthy compared to the rest of the NBA this season. There's like the fact that Harden and Durant have played so many minutes already, that they really have only lost Harris, like, as a main player. Look at these other teams that have gone through, like, Charlotte has nobody, because I'm not going to go through the whole list. I did this the other day. But, like, almost every team has dealt with major injuries among their best guys. I think that the second – I'm just saying in terms of likelihood, I think this – watch what happens the second Durant or Harden needs to miss some time. They're just going to have to.
That's a great point, though, because so say Kevin Durant, say James Harden, let's pick the guard star, right? James Harden goes down with an injury. Now, if it happens in the time frame when Kyrie would have to go get vaccinated to come back, I don't think that's an immediate thing. So the timeline of that is a little bit interesting, too, because depending on when the injury comes, I think that it negatively impacts the stars, Harden, Durant. Like, I think that Durant's perspective gets impacted. If somebody goes down and you really need Kyrie more than ever to fill that void and Kyrie doesn't do what's necessary to come back, then I think it does shift a little bit. We talk about how people feel about Kyrie. I think it would change how Kevin Durant looks at Kyrie Irving from the standpoint of, if it's a personal choice that you're making, I can understand that, and we're waiting this thing out, etc. But now we're getting to the point where even if you do come back, like we talked about this last episode, if we put so much mileage on Kevin Durant and James Harden, if we put so much mileage on our bodies that by the time we need you to come back and you do come back, it doesn't matter because we're already broken down this year. It may not be enough to get you over the hump in a playoff series, et cetera. We saw it last season, right? Even just an injury for Harden. He comes back, but he's not quite ready. And just from a basketball standpoint, now Kyrie's always been in better shape, and some things in this article and others have alluded to the fact that he's been working out, he's been meditating, he's probably in great shape. But everybody knows that being in great shape versus being in athletic, sports-based shape is not the same thing. So what's the ramp-up time for him, depending on when he comes back? So the further you get down the path is, how much can you sacrifice? And then I think you start to look at the playoff series and say, can we sacrifice a first-round series for Kyrie to get his legs underneath him? And what does that look like? So I don't know. I guess we are a little bit in disagreement on that piece of it.
I wonder if the Nets, if anything, will come to regret the part where they kind of just sent them home. Like, I didn't say, like, hey, I'm just guessing at this now. Like, and
I don't think, you couldn't do that, though, because could you really run two different systems, basically, for road games and home games? Because that's what you'd have to do, right?
I'm just saying, like, the part where he doesn't practice and stuff, I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm mostly saying, like, taking the long view. I'm not saying they do right now. I'm wondering if we get a year from now or something like that and whatever, and they just say, oh, man, I wish we could have just, like, done, or, like, they felt like this was going to, or they felt like that move was going to press him into, like, actually getting the vaccine, and it just didn't. Like, it did, like, that didn't, like, if the thought was, oh, this will send a very clear message that we want this to happen, and it just didn't happen. And I wonder if, like, you don't know, looking back later on, they'll say, huh, maybe we could have done something different. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you want to say, look, like,
I wonder if both of them do. Right, like I wonder if both sides.
Well, I don't think Kyrie's gonna. This article does not make it appear like Kyrie.
Right, but I know. But like, as it stands right now, like nothing suggests that the Brooklyn Nets have any regrets about it. Right?
No, you're right.
Because they could invite him. But I know. I know what you mean. Like, and listen, saying something like "I think Kyrie would" is about as vague of a sentiment as you can provide. But I do wonder. It's like all these things. You get some distance, and you go, what could I have done, or how could I have approached this a little bit differently? Would things have gone a different way? Maybe. But ultimately, the last piece that I'll give a nod to this, and we can get into it over time. We don't do a lot of the trade talk stuff, and I'm not going to give specifics, but you had talked about this on the previous podcast. A lot of what we got on YouTube, where we've had tremendous support over there, was throwing out a lot of big names. Like, things are going south in Portland. Dame Lillard, that should be a target. If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan and you think that that's a viable option for the Nets to explore, and I think that it could be, you also have to refine it down to, in my opinion, Western Conference teams, because you're not going to put them somewhere to compete with you. It also has to be teams that currently right now feel like they should have been better by this point of the season and aren't, and think that they could take a big leap forward for themselves. So guys just out on the fringe, right, of being a top four seed, maybe they're lingering near the back of the pack, and adding a Kyrie makes them infinitely better. And then you also have to be willing to understand you're not trading for an equal value. You're getting back diminished returns. So you have to start to look at rosters and say, where are guys that potentially a couple of pieces that add up to the right financial number, and then also provide value for the Nets right now in this moment? Because that's the ultimate goal here. If you're going to, otherwise, the Nets will just hold on to Kyrie and hope that things work out and they can utilize him at some point. You're only moving off of him if it gets you back a viable piece that can help make you better right now. Because otherwise, the Nets don't care about assets. They'll figure that out some other day. That's not what this is going to be about, to move off of Kyrie Irving. They'll just as well let him walk and let him move on in the offseason and figure out the details of that stuff later. But this world where I think some fans look around the landscape and say, there's, you know, every team would want Kyrie, and there's so many teams that have talent the same. Yeah, of course they do. But teams like Portland, if they're gonna go into a rebuild, they're not taking on a 30-year-old, 30-year-old in a contract year and all that kind of stuff. They're gonna look for young pieces, and then you get into the Cam Thomases, the De'Ron Sharps, the whatever that you might have to throw in to make these things work. So it's just one of those It's not happening.
They're not trading. No one's gonna take them. It's just I don't know.
But there has been reports to say like the teams would be interested in trading for him.
Oh, they'll be interested in trading him for like 50 cents on the dollar. If the Nets get willing to take something like that,
that's what I mean. Right. That's the world that I'm living in. Right. Like I'm saying, you're gonna get diminished.
Please do not leave a comment in YouTube that says like Damian Lillard or Kyle Lowry or like anyone good.
No.
If they're the top three best players on their own team, please don't send the message. Like it's just not. That's
here's your gauge.
It's not happening.
Jalen Brunson, who plays for the Mavs, the Nets are gonna take them on. I'm not saying that's the guy. But that's the level of player that you're looking at. Good, pretty good offensively, gives you some defensive value. That's the range that you're in, or at least you know,
like
to
that
me.
Plus picks or something.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get some other stuff in there, but that's it. That's it.
Like it's just you're not like, and the Nets would say no, so it wouldn't even matter. I think the Nets would say no to that. So like, and they probably be correct. I don't know. I guess my point is there's just not. We're gonna get out of here, but like there's no.
There's not currently an immediate viable thing out there that exists that anyone could suggest that you'd say, yes. Oh, this is very likely to happen and they could make this deal work. It's not as simple as going on the trade machine and lining up the numbers and saying, well, the finance is all, I clicked it, it said success. That's nothing is near that point right now. And I do personally think if it got to that place that the Nets would explore it. And I probably agree with you that it's pretty far afield that anything comes across where teams are saying, like you say, 30 cents on the dollar, you like that? And the Nets will say no. So take that for what you want.
And if for anything more than that, they're just not going to want to deal with the headache. That's just where we are. Okay, jump into the aforementioned YouTube. I'm just kidding. Throw as many trades in there as you want to. Go over to YouTube, leave a comment.
I'll eat them up.
Subscribe to the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. Over 500 subscribers, on to 600. Be part of the movement over there. Really appreciate everyone jumping in. Like and subscribe over on YouTube. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Oh, just promise me this, Doug. You'll always remember, you're braver than you believe. You're stronger than you seem, and you're smarter than you think. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets. Thank you, A.A. Milne. We will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.